Remarks without any further delay. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Brother Phil Clough.
I just have Barbara just give a word. Thank you.
We do want to say hello to the feedback and email today. We have lots of happy memories over the years of being here. So thank you for the support. We do remember these homes, and we want to offer our sympathy not only to the family, but to all of you. We have a great, beautiful choir in heaven. Thank you for the attention up there and joining that. And the Lord is working in the Philippines. The Lord is answering a lot of prayers. And if you would like to keep up to date on our ministry, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. You can sign your email address or your regular word address, and we would be glad to keep up to date on our ministry.
Thank you, Pastor Pacino, and our time to be here. It's been about 3 years since we reported with you, and the congregation is larger than it was 3 or 4 years ago when we were here. We praise the Lord for his goodness and blessing, your prayers for us, your support that you send our way also. So the Lord has been good. We've been in ministry for 38 years of our first time to go to the Philippines. And we were in the mission hospital first, and then church planting, and now in our experience to teach young people at the Bible schools. Our message today is from 2 Kings. We'll turn there later, just a few minutes, just to give a little update. Our time, our family, Andrew's family, as Pastor mentioned, was with Emily and two granddaughters there, and Katie and Ryan. The two granddaughters, Avery and Jordan, and Barb's father is 92 years old. We celebrated his birthday this past March, but especially the 90th birthday that we had a couple years ago. But our teaching is with the Filipinos there in the Mindanao of Southern Island. Various tribal names of our various unreached people group that is there on the island to the south. And Barb has her class give a report on various the tribal areas, the Muslim and animus on our island. And we're trying to study for these 82 students that is there.
Students from the Middle Baptist Seminary, or MBS, is where we have been teaching for the past 10 years. Most of our students are not from the tribes. Like
this gives a little about our video of some of our events at our Bible school. We showed it in Sunday school, but we're showing it again. Gives you a little taste of what our school is like. The words are in Cebuano. It's the hymn Constantly Abiding. The tune you probably recognize. We have 10 or 12 come over on Monday nights, a devotion and fellowship time that we have in our home. We have Missions Week, and they build these booths out of bamboo to express different areas of missions. And they dress up like the tribal areas in our island. One of the tribes, no church in their tribe area, even though a million people there. We have four computers for a little training on computers and PowerPoint. They like to roll old tires for like a race. And Barb is afraid of them falling off the grease poles. Into the elementary schools, we have release time to give Bible stories and religious education to the elementary public schools. Campus work at various universities, flower arrangement, practice their preaching, their junior-senior banquet, and some of the girls there. These are interns that come back from their churches to graduate. Graduation is the end of March. In 1 year certificate in the white cap and gown. So it just gives a little bit of our school situation. And Pastor mentioned about the building project there that is pretty well complete. But we just finished the office room and office room and also restrooms on each end of the building. Again, the religious education instructions and weekend responsibilities that the students have. Turn with me if you do have your Bibles. Otherwise, I'm going to be explaining it a little bit. An Old Testament passage about spreading the good news, a day of good news for the story of a event where Syria, in the news we have Syria now also, but the Syrian army coming against Israel. We have Jerusalem as the capital city of Judah, and to the north was Israel, 10 tribes, and their capital was Samaria. We think of a good Samaritan and so forth, Samaria, but it was the capital of the northern tribe of the 10 tribes of Jacob, and 2 tribes to the south, which would be Judah and Benjamin, and the capital being Jerusalem. But our story is about a situation where there was a rejoicing of a day of good news, and that after their famine, God was able to give them a situation where Elisha, the prophet, was giving a prophecy that a good day of good news would be coming, and Elisha was prophesying to the king of Israel, to the northern area in Samaria as the capital building. But Ben-Hadad, the general Ben-Hadad from Syria, was surrounding the city of the capital of Samaria of that particular time, and they were sieged for several months where anyone in the city was a famine, and that there was armies all around the wall, and no one could go in and out of that city of Samaria. And at the time, there was this famine that the people were starving, and even a donkey's head was a payment of 80 shekels, as you read in chapter 6, would be like 2 pounds of silver coins to pay for a donkey's head to try to get some meat off the bones of the head. We have that in the Philippines of the pig head and so forth, but the situation was so severe that even some mothers were giving of their children so their families could eat in the city of Samaria. So it was in dire straits, and this mother complained to the king who was on the wall, and you'll read it later on, and you go home and read chapter 6 and chapter 7 on this situation in the city of Samaria. As the day of good news, we read chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "And Elisha, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour, fine wheat flour, shall be sold for one shekel. And the two measures of barley will be a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So there was a time of their hearts, the enemy at the camp, and they ate to their heart's content. So there would be a verse 2, that so the officer on whose hand the king leaned against the man of God and said, "Lord, if the Lord would open the windows of heaven like they gave manna to the whole people and could do this," but he said, "In fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it." This food that would be from the Syrian army, a day of good news that they would have. So, as the story goes on, there are four lepers, and four lepers, if they were to keep silent, I have to back up some, I guess this is on a transition, so bear with me since I have to back up on this. This is a transitional. A PowerPoint that keeps going back and forth. The story is about outside the city. If you recall about lepers, Jesus healed the lepers. Leprosy was very prevalent at the time. They had to say unclean, unclean, and live outside the city. They could not be mixed with the people that were in their family, or they lived outside the city. You recall one of the stories of King Uzziah. He was a very proud king, and he wanted to go into the Holy of Holies, the temple, just like a high priest would, and he put on the robes and everything and was going in, but God struck him with leprosy. In the Philippines, when we first went in 37 years ago, there were still leper colonies. So there was a disease of leprosy, even the Philippines and other world third-class world countries of leprosy. They didn't have all the medicine as we do now for leprosy. If the symptoms of leprosy, and you get sort of white and you get like boils and other things, and you lose your toes, you lose your fingers, you lose your ears, your nose, and so forth in being a leper. And the story is, in verse 3 and 4, that these four lepers were outside the city wall, and they were contemplating, if we stay here, nobody's going to be feeding us from the city. If we go in the city, they're hungry there. And we'll probably die where we are. If we just stay in our own house outside the gate, we would die. And then they said in verse 4, if we say we shall enter the city, the famine of the city, and we shall die. And if we sit here in our house, we will also die. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of Syrians, and if they keep us alive, we shall be alive. And if they kill us, we shall also die. So one way or the other, the debating, one way or the other, they may die. But if we ask the Syrian army of the kindness to feed us, we'll have a few more days to live with the food from the Syrian army. And as time went on, they figured they would do that and go into the Syrian camp. Like I mentioned about the lepers in the Philippines, and they do have the medicine now and so forth, but there was a lady that got on the public transportation, which was a jeep. The jeepneys in the Philippines is you enter the back of the vehicle, and there's bench seats on both sides, and the driver in front, and two can sit by the driver, but this lady got on. I was already sitting there, but she, I noticed that when she wanted to pay her fare, which she put the coins between her fingers like this, but she did not have the ends of her fingers left because of the leprosy that she had. Apparently, she was able to go in with the public, and I took the coins and passed them up to the driver. So that was a little difficult situation for me to think this was a leper lady. Will it leprosy pass on to me? But since she was in the public domain of people and so forth, that the contagiousness of leprosy was not evident in that way. But these lepers decided to go into Syria, the camp, and it was dawn, the ending of the day, the time that they were fixing supper, and there's probably smoke from their fires, the campfires, and so forth. And verse 5, and it says, and they rose at twilight and to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, there was no one that was there in the camp, for the Lord had caused an army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of the horses and noise of the great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents and their horses and their donkeys, as they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into the tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some of their items and went in and hid it. Then, verse 9, they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment, judgment will come upon us. Now therefore let us go and tell the king's household this good news. So these lepers that they, if they kept silent, they knew that people were starving in their city, their capital city, and if we just eat all our contentment, take the gold and the silver that they already stole from others, the spoils of their warfare and so forth, that if we don't share it with our own people, the Jewish people, then judgment would come upon them. If we keep silent, this is a day of good news. It's a grand day. The food that they ate was good. It was in the pot. It was warm and they could eat it, and so forth. And we have good news of the gospel. For us today, the gospel is being proclaimed. What is this gospel? The gospel is good news. Good news of Jesus Christ is the main meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, that we have this blessed hope and Christ's return. Let's go back. That we know that we are all sinners. And our destination is that God's judgment would be hell for us. And if we repent of our sins and turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to save us from our sins, then we also would have eternal life in Him. We just had Easter, that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This is good news. Good news for everyone who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not from the beginning of Christ's death, very resurrection, but a hope of His return is part of this good news, that He just doesn't go stay in heaven, but He's going to return to us. And that then also, number 4, is in between His first coming and His second coming, there is this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will comfort us in living within us. These are 4 elements of the good news of Jesus Christ. So the heart for the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, a heart for the world, and also for local missions, for world missions to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. Who are the senders? Who are the sent ones? The Holy Spirit sending out through the Antioch Church of Acts chapter 13. So that was the story, the Old Testament. This is a day of good news. Good news for each and every one of us that if we keep silent, some people will fall into the judgment of the Lord and not know the good news of Jesus Christ. We need not to be silent. We should not be silent, but to share a day of good news. Each and every day can be a day of good news as we share it with others. I was telling Pastor that we don't have a vehicle, but we take the public transportation, whether in the city it's taxis, whether it's on a bus or these little jeepneys that they have from town to town. We take the opportunity to sit down with the Filipinos and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We go into the hospitals and share in a room of 20 beds in a ward, preaching the gospel. I preach, and our other students will be an example to the other younger students as we share the gospel in the wards or private rooms. We have 5 different hospitals on Friday afternoon dividing up with transportation and sharing the gospel. There's church visitation that our students go on to go to homes and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then even in the elementary school, where Barb takes some of the young ladies to the elementary school. So we're trying to give them opportunities to share and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, concerning the early church and in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, if you turn there also or follow along or listen as I continue thinking of sent ones, those who will share the good news, this church of Antioch was a mixed race in the sense of Gentile and Jewish people. Paul and Barnabas and others preached the good news to the Jews, and then other Gentiles believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they were mixed. And you'll find in this chapter 13, this is the first place that they were called Christians, because it was mixed. It was not believing Jews and believing Gentiles, but they were mixed together, and they were first called Christians in Antioch. And for a Christian, you think those who belong to Christ, those who are followers of Christ. That's the true meaning of a Christian, that we are following after the commandments of Christ, the word of Christ, the words that he asked us to do, and so forth. We think of Canadians, those who that belong to Canada, that are citizens of Canada. We think of Australians, citizens and residents of Australia. Australian, Canadian, and Christian, one who belong to Jesus Christ. That's the true meaning in followers of Jesus Christ. And so these Jews or Gentiles was there in this first church. Now, you recall of Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. Barnabas, a son of consolation or encouragement, Barnabas had mercy and counselor and took Saul with him on first missionary journey and other things. They took some relief money to help the widows in Jerusalem. In verse 25 of chapter 12, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking some relief funds there, and they also took John, who was surnamed Mark. As they returned, there's the group of ministers and teachers in Antioch," chapter 13, verse 1. Now, in the church that was in Antioch, there was a certain prophets and teachers. In other words, pastors and teachers Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. You find five pastor teachers, those who ministered among them. Barnabas and Saul was away, so there was three. For many weeks they were ministering. But then, this particular Sunday, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate unto us Barnabas and Saul unto the work and ministry that I have called them." Verse 3, then as they fasted and prayed, the people of the congregation didn't go home for lunch, but they fasted and wanted to know the Lord's will for them. They sent them away on the first missionary journey. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, the island there that was Barnabas' property and so forth of that island. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. And so there's those who would be sent. The church would be senders. That God, working in the life of the lady that went to China and so forth, maybe God is working in her life to be sent again in a missionary aspect in their life. And so, verse, in the English Bible it says sent. Verse 3 and 4. So, verse 3, it is letting loose, letting go of their responsibility in the church. It probably was a bigger church to have these workers, three or four of them working there. So they released them. They allowed them to go where God wanted them to go. And then verse 4, ekpempo, which is a commissioning by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, it is sent by the church, and verse 4 is sent by the Holy Spirit. So it is like a sailboat. It is like whisking away in the air and the Holy Spirit to send them away into their missionary journey. So again, of senders, sent ones, God is in the business of those who will send out their missionaries and those who are willing to go as missionaries and the approach that way. So the church, responsibility of the church, God's missionaries are developed, God's calling in the life of 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, even older ones that would go out. And as they recognized by the church, and also that the church authorizes them as to be the missionaries to go out, and the church supports financially these missionaries to go out. These are some of the basics of missions of going out from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. So failing to take steps now when Jesus is touching lives and missing this opportunity to be senders or sent ones, we all can be senders, sending others to be able to go. And Pastor mentioned about those to go to the Muslim country, to Turkey, to Papua New Guinea, to Indonesia. Indonesia is right next door to our island of the Philippines, and we have the Muslim tribes there also, senders to be able to go. If God is leading you to be a missionary to an unreached people group, then He will also give you spiritual gifts for the task that is ahead of you. Let us right now to make a decision, and as you meet together, trustees and workers together, and those who would be on the front lines and going to peoples of the world. And so our part today, go out, reach out, and move out. As we have the commission of Matthew 28, and we have Mark 16, reach out as the apostles did in Acts chapter 3 and then move out into the area of their Jerusalem, their province or the county which we live in, the province type of thing, Judah to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And as we think of the Philippines, they're sending some to Cambodia, Thailand, Myanmar, hopefully into Vietnam, and so forth, as we would think of these missionaries, you as a church, having missions endeavors to send them forth. Every day is a day of good news. Just as those lepers believed, we cannot be silent. We have a words of encouragement. We have words of good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share with others. Steve Green had a song about the title is Mission. The mission, whether it be across the street or across the sea, we're all can be missionaries for Him. And to not to be silent, but to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The other month, I was in a prayer meeting, and the preacher was talking about boldness. Just boldness to share with other people. Usually it has to be us to start the conversation. We're in a society, you mind your own things and I'll mind my own, type of things. But in sharing the good news, we must be the ones who be initiators of sharing. First to get to know them. How's your day? How's it going with your family or whatever, your work? But it can bring around to a discussion of sharing that good news, and let us not be silent, for silence will cause people not to know the good news and salvation in Jesus Christ. May we all be missionaries sent ones by the Holy Spirit in going out to our workplace, our families, to our neighbors, and truly that's loving our neighbors to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. May we pray. Dear Father, this is a day of good news. As we realize the story of the Old Testament, as we realize from the disciples and apostles of old that they were not silent, that they were bold in sharing the good news to others. And as we've had opportunities in the Philippines, it may be hard in the States, politically not right for us to intrude with other people, and Satan likes to keep us silent in sharing the good news and excuses of not sharing this good news. Lord, we just pray that each one of us would be bold in our approach, bold in our love to one another, and especially to you as the great and loving God that you are. And we'll thank you through the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Phil, for that clear, concise presentation of the gospel and the challenge to missions. I trust that God is burdening someone right here among us today. Consider the mission field. It's not an easy life. It certainly is exciting. Every time the clumps come, they tell me something I didn't know. Did that donkey head over there? That was just... Yeah, thank God. Yeah, okay. I know that's in the Bible. The way you were alluding to that, I was like, oh, no, they eat that stuff there. But they do eat some strange things on the mission field. I've learned that. But praise God for our missionaries, because life is a lot different than from where they come from. And it definitely is a transition from culture to culture. So you pray for our missionaries daily, okay? We have them on our missionary list, on our prayer list, and we always have a missionary of the month. And now that you've met the clumps, when they're our missionary of the month, you'll know who we're praying for and where they're at. Okay, I want to close with an invitation, because there might be somebody here who has never received Christ as their personal Savior. I know that many years ago when I was in Catholicism, folks would come up to me and ask had I accepted Jesus. And of course, I've accepted Jesus. I was a Christian. I knew all about Jesus. In fact, I often would try to tell them. But because, you know, I was a good Catholic. But when somebody had asked me, was I born again? I had no idea what they were talking about. Until I read, Jesus said, ye must be born again. It's not enough to just know there's a God and that Jesus is the Savior. It's your faith alone in Christ alone. That's what it comes down to. Not in your church attendance, not in your good life, though God does want you to live a good life, a life where you could be a testimony for Christ, but none of that will get you to heaven. Your life experiences, they won't get you to heaven. A missionary could work on the field for 30, 40, 50 years, and if they do not know Christ personally, if they're not born again, they will not be ushered into the kingdom of God. Am I right? Just say amen. Okay. So there might be somebody here who thinks, well, you know, I've been brought up in, and I know Christ. I know all about Him. Well, let me ask you this. Did you place your faith alone in Christ alone? I was placing my faith in a church. They had guaranteed me that I could maybe one day, if I did everything right, if I dotted my I's, crossed my T's properly, and paid the price, one day I might be ushered into heaven. Till I found out, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That if there was nobody else in this world who was a sinner but you, do you understand that Christ would have died for you to save you for all time and eternity? Oh, Father, I pray if there's anyone among us not sure of their eternal salvation, that this day would be the day that they have their faith placed in Christ, and Christ alone, by faith alone. Father, bless these dear saints as they gather together. Thank you for their encouragement to our dear family that has lost our dear choir director, Barbara Holmes. May they, Father, lift up the Holmes family throughout this week, for it be one of the most difficult weeks of their lives. May we think of them and not just be caught up in our little bubble, but to realize there are hurting people that we love. And then, Father, help us to come back to this place having been a witness for Jesus Christ, a missionary to the lost and dying world. We give you the praise for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service with a hymn, hymn 319, just the first stanza. 319. Let's stand, and then we'll be dismissed. If you remember, pray for Brother Ralph. He's not here with us, one of our deacons. Him and Holly were in the hospital last night. Brother Ralph apparently fell, and apparently he did something to a cartilage in his knee. So I can sympathize, because I just tore my meniscus a little while ago, and I think Jim can relate to that. So he is on crutches, and he's asking for our prayers. Remember to pray for him. Also, Brother Henry, we appreciate him being here. He doesn't have a vehicle, and he could use a ride home. Could somebody give Henry a ride home? Is there somebody here? Amanda, you go that way? Who, Sydney? Who's going that way? Anybody going that way? You'll take him? Okay. All right, Juan's going to do it, not Ralph. Juan. All right, I was trying to get somebody that lived down there. Thank you, Juan. All right, we appreciate how you all help one another. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Let's sing, then we'll pray. 319, wonderful grace of Jesus.